Hi, this is Alan Chartok here in the Congressional Corner with Brad Hayes. He's a associate professor of political science at Union College, and he knows a great deal. Let me take you to the Democratic primary. Right now, we are seeing that Bernie Sanders, according to the polls, is pretty far out ahead in New Hampshire and in an increasingly likely that he'll take the Iowa caucuses also. Go.
Yeah, so really kind of remarkable what we've seen Bernie Sanders do over the last several weeks. I mean, I'm not surprised to see him doing well in New Hampshire. It's the neighboring states. And so that is, to me, slightly less remarkable. But Iowa, is significant. He was, quite a ways behind. And even in the national polls, about a month ago, he was about 20 points behind Hillary Clinton, and now it's, it's about like 8 points. So there has definitely been a tightening in this race. And so that is particularly interesting. There does seem to be some softness to some of those numbers, though. So I'm not fully convinced that what we're seeing in those polls will result to electoral success, particularly in Iowa. Let me explain. One of the things that I think is notable is that when you ask voters who they believe will win, so you ask Democratic voters who you believe will win, 7 out of 10 say Hillary Clinton. And that we know from the past, this is a very powerful predictor of electoral success. And the second part is that the support for Bernie Sanders tends to be softer than the support for Clinton. Not any less enthusiastic, that's different, but softer in the sense that when you ask people, have they made up their mind? Clinton supporters have made up their mind. They are pretty much locked in. Sanders supporters tend to be a little softer, and like they're not quite sure. And I think that in some ways reflects that notion of who they think will win, right? And so, in other words, there can be some fluidity in voter choice when you see those kinds of numbers. But that being said, I mean, I think the way you kind of frame this is quite useful, right? That soft support, the notion of who you think will win, that actually just raises the stakes for Iowa and New Hampshire even higher, because what Sanders really needs to do is to change the perception that Hillary will win, right? This kind of almost inevitability to Hillary Clinton, even when you see the numbers shrinking, there still seems to be this sense that it's inevitable. And that if he were to score two victories, those first two, Iowa and then New Hampshire, my sense of the universe is that you would see some movement in those numbers, and then you would have a real opportunity to kind of steal the nomination away. Now, that being said, I still think it's worth noting that Iowa and New Hampshire are just weird places. That's the political science term, weird. And that they look unlike much of the rest of the country, and where we begin to, kind of look at states that look more diverse, Hillary Clinton still is maintaining some leads. Now, I don't know how trustworthy the polls are that are showing that. But nevertheless, I sometimes think that we kind of overhype Iowa and New Hampshire and then forget about, some of the states that really look much more like the rest of the country when we're talking about, who's really winning the race, particularly at this point.
Can you explain something to me, Brad Hayes? And if anybody can, you can. That's a setup, by the way.
Yeah.
But can you explain to me what the role of young people in America, traditional not voters, not in large enough numbers, is going to be? I mean, we saw, for example, in gay marriage, we saw a lightning change. And most analysts ascribe it to the fact that younger people were saying, why can't gay people get married if they want to? And it changed overnight from something that looked like it would never happen. Is it possible that Bernie Sanders' message is resonating with people, which is that it really is an unfair country, and the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, and people are saying, I can't find a job after I get out of college and the rest of it, so therefore I'm for Bernie?
Yes, I think that is actually what's going on. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I think your point about the youth is a really good one and interesting one when thinking about Bernie Sanders' chances, that he does seem to have this appeal to the youth. And right, and when you think about kind of that enthusiasm, right?
Even though he's old like I am.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you know, hey, Alan, old people are appealing, right?
Well, I think in my case, it's
right, certainly. But, you know, it is the message, right? It is the his liberalism, right? It is the progressivism in his message, right? And that resonates, I think, with, you know, kind of today's active base. If you just look at the numbers, I mean, in terms of the composition of the Democratic Party, you know, 45% of Democrats now identify as liberal, you know, not moderate, not conservative, as liberal. That is a big increase over time, even going back 4 years. If you look at 2012, that's a 5-point increase, which is really significant in just 4 years.
Sure.
And if you look at, you know, those identifying as moderate and those identifying as conservative, those are down. Now, you know, if you combine those two together, it's still a majority within the Democratic Party. But nevertheless, it seems as if, you know, this polarization means that those on the left and those on the right are looking for, in some ways, you know, an ideologue, someone that's willing to defend the turf of their wing of the party. And I think that's particularly true with the young, right? That they're looking for that appeal. They're looking for something to be excited about. And we saw that, of course, in 2008, where, you know, the youth vote did jump up fairly significantly. But then, of course, it receded, right? It didn't stay that way. So in thinking about the winning coalition for Sanders is that it needs to translate to votes.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
you got to get off your behind and go into the voting place to vote. And we all know as professors that students have not always done that. On the other hand, they did come out for Obama in larger numbers than usual. And when they were there, they stuck around to vote for other people. They said, what's this other stuff on here, which could be extremely helpful. So I want to ask you this question, Brad Hayes. This is the toughest question I'm going to ask you all day. And that is, let's assume that Bernie Sanders somehow ekes out a win and gets the nomination. He's a Democratic Socialist. Can he be, and I'm a great fan of his, can he be elected president of the United States against anyone, Ted Cruz or Donald Trump?
Yes, I think he could. Yeah, and I would argue this based in part on the political terrain. The political terrain of presidential elections favors the Democratic candidate, whoever they are. It favors them. It doesn't mean that they're going to win, but it does favor them.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, one of the things that we can kind of get confused about, we can look at, you know, congressional elections, we can look at Senate elections, and, you know, we can think, oh, well, you know, the Republicans have a big advantage. But it's in part because of the way those districts and, of course, this populations of the state are drawn that we have kind of Republican majorities in the House and the Senate. And as a consequence, you know, we sometimes get a bit of a distorted picture there that when we're looking at kind of national elections, and the presidential election isn't really national, but it's as close as we get, it tends to favor Democrats, right? And so, you know, I think if I would much rather be the Democratic nominee going into a presidential election, general election right now, than the Republican, simply because I think the terrain is to my advantage.
Always love talking to Professor Brad Hayes from Union College, an expert in American political development, constitutional politics, American institutions. Brad Hayes, thanks and come again.
Thanks, Alan.